This analogy will probably make sense if you're familiar with the Winnie the Pooh stories. If you look, today we read Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, this is the only appearance of Ecclesiastes in all 3 years that we get. And Ecclesiastes is sort of the Eeyore of the scripture. You can almost hear Eeyore's voice. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Yeah. You know, in Eeyore, you know, Ecclesiastes may seem kind of depressive, but that's not what really is going on here. What really is going on is Ecclesiastes is an experiment in thought. It says, what would you get if you only looked at life through temporal, material, external things without with human reason unaided by God? And it gets, you don't get much. It's pretty meager. And it's pretty depressive itself. And that's not because the author of Ecclesiastes didn't believe in God, because you can reason to the existence of God, but what he couldn't reason to was that God is good, the immortality of the soul, and that we have an eternal reality, that God has an eternal gift for us. And so we look at the readings today in Ecclesiastes. The author of Ecclesiastes wants to tell us that there is something more that is needed in life. Something more that only God can provide. That's really the same message of Jesus in this parable of this self-satisfied rich man. You fool, this night your life will be required of you. And Jesus encourages us, he wants us to be rich, but rich in the things that matter to God. And that's why we're going to be looking at the virtue of prudence today. Now, we've been looking over these last 4 weeks at these four virtues and the radical things that Jesus has to say about them. So our first week, we looked through the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that God is saying to us that we're really not living out the virtue of charity until we love like God, until we love enemy love, until we love in that particular way, because that's how God loves us. He says even when we're his enemy, he loves us with self-sacrificial love. And then in Martha and Mary, we had the story of temperance. You know, that even when we do our good things, if we don't listen to Jesus first, if we don't temper our understanding of what the goods are, we can even do good things for wrong reasons. And then last week, you didn't have me here, but I did preach here. Last week, I preached about courage. And in the gospel, it talked about persistence in prayer. And I said a better translation of persistence is shamelessness. And what Jesus is telling us to pray is he's saying, pray shamelessly for the Holy Spirit. Pray shamelessly for holiness. That is, without deference to your honor, to what culture demands. And I challenged all the folks that heard me last week. It says, do we pray for holiness in that way? Do we pray shamelessly? Do we pray for courage, for the gift to pray in that way? And then we come to prudence in the readings today. The gift of prudence is not just, when you hear the name prudence, you start thinking of your great aunt, maybe twice removed on your mother's side, who kind of smelled of mothballs. That's kind of when we think of that word prudence. But prudence is one of the queens of the virtues, because it helps us to understand what reality really is. It helps us to understand what courage is. It helps us to understand, if we don't have prudence, we wouldn't understand the acts of love in order to do charity. It helps us to understand and to make value judgments. Now, prudence, I'm going to give you an example of prudence that is pretty easy to think about. You and your spouse, at some point in your marriage, I hope you said, you know, when we make decisions, we want all of our decisions that we make to make our marriage stronger, healthier. We want our family and our children to grow up to be healthy and holy. And then you'll get an offer, a really good offer, for a great opportunity for a job. And maybe that offer will have that job means that that person has to travel all the time and can never really be present in the home. And maybe it means that you have to actually pick up the kids and take them out of their school, away from family and friends and maybe the extended family too. And I'm not saying that that's not still a good opportunity, and I'm not telling you how to make your decision. But I am going to tell you what question to ask. The question is this: does taking this opportunity help us to actually fulfill those long-standing goals of our marriage and our family? That's the question you need to ask. And see, that's where prudence really comes in. Jesus is asking the man here, and it's in the context, the parable's in a context. He's answering this person who says, you know, divide the inheritance. And he comes back and he says, you know, avoid greed. You can be rich, but if you're not rich in the things that matter to God, you know, then there's a problem here. And so greed, again, we're going to do a little Greek here. The word for greed here is kind of an insatiable desire for stuff. I want you to think of the one thing that you've always wanted, okay? The one thing you always thought, if I had this, I'll be happy. Give you a second. Okay? In my world, you've now got it, okay? My guarantee is that for a while, that might actually be okay for you. But also, I'm going to tell you that in a few months, you're going to want something else. You're going to say, you know, that was great, but I really am still not all that happy. Maybe there's something else that will make me happy. And why is that? Well, the reason is that there is nothing that is in this world that's going to satisfy that desire. But when we are rich in the things of God, no one can take those things out of our hands. When we're rich in the things of God, God keeps giving us more. So if we become rich in charity, and rich in our ability to love, God will give you more love because you now have the capacity to love more. If God gives you the gift of living out temperance, He's going to give you even more because you're going to be able to use that gift that He gives you. If He gives you courage and you're able to constantly live out the faith of courage, He will give you more courage. And the same thing with prudence. So we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes and Eeyore. You know, Eeyore, if you listen to him, he has some great wisdom in Eeyore. And so does Ecclesiastes. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes is this: you have to look at the blind alleys of our life. What are the things that we think will lead us to eternal happiness, but don't? And then, once we understand that, then when prudence is formed by faith, hope, and love, when it's formed by those virtues, we know that the only thing that can satisfy is what God puts in our hearts. And so when we have that gift of prudence, we then can look at the reality of our lives and act according to the gift that God wants to give us. We can be rich in the things that matter to God.